This is the TTY Dialer, show number 5 for the week of November 21st through November 26th. Hi, this is Mark LeVonier, and this is your weekly companion to WRVO Public Media's old-time radio show tuned to yesterday. Every night on the air and online, we bring you back to the golden age of radio with episodes of mystery, comedy, drama, and more. In this podcast should help you get ready for the shows for the week and have some fun with sound from radio's yesteryear. The best time to listen to this is on Sundays. To get yourself ready for the week of old-time radio, I post the new podcasts Saturday night at 7 o'clock on WRVO.org. But really, listen whenever you like. And now, listen to this.
Say, fellas and girls, tomorrow's a big day. Yes, sirree, there's nothing like Thanksgiving. Good heavens, look what's wandered in, a turkey. Gee, he's a mighty fine-looking turkey. Pretty wise-looking old bird, too. Almost looks like he could talk.
Hello there, Jay.
But what in the world's he doing here? Huh? Did that turkey say something?
I said, hello there.
You're a talking turkey?
What's wrong with that? You talk, don't you?
Well, sure, but I...
Well, so do I. Matter of fact, I'd like to get something off my mind.
Well, go ahead.
Well, sir, on Thanksgiving, all folks seem to think about is dinner.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I'd like to see a little more emphasis on breakfast.
Say, you've got something there, Mr. Turkey. Breakfast is a most important meal. It should never be overlooked, even on Thanksgiving. So here's a tip. Tomorrow morning, enjoy a breakfast of delicious Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice, the ready-to-serve breakfast cereals shot from guns. These giant king-size grains are shot from guns to make them crisp and tender. Yes, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them bigger and better tasting. What's more, wheat or rice shot from guns furnishes added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Good and good for you. That's Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice.
Now you're talking. Well, must be going now.
Will we be seeing you again?
Sure, I'll be back next year. Goodbye.
Say, it isn't every day you meet up with a talking turkey. But fellas and girls, you can meet up with a swellest tasting breakfast tomorrow or any day. That breakfast is wheat or rice shot from guns. Delicious with milk and fruit. Ask Mom to get both kinds. That's Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice.
And the machine that made that puffed rice is still in use to this day, called the puffing gun. That commercial was from the Challenge of the Yukon radio show from the day before Thanksgiving in 1949. A program many kids just called Sergeant Preston. The show on radio in the 40s and later on TV in the 50s was sponsored by Quaker, and they offered a lot of premiums or special offers if you bought one of their boxes of cereal. Anything from baseball tickets to a deed to 1 inch of Yukon land. Apparently with that premium, 21 million boxes were sold featuring deeds in every single box. And it turns out they're not good anymore, because at one point, Quaker failed to pay the $37.20 to the Canadian government in property taxes. On Tune to Yesterday this Monday night, November 21st at 10 o'clock, it's sitcoms for an hour from Lum and Abner and Duffy's Tavern. Then an hour of powerful drama from the Academy Award Theater. They'll boil down the movie Pride of the Marines from 1946 to just 30 minutes. Then the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players with the Oscar-winning motion picture, again, just 30 minutes. It's an adaptation of The Lost Weekend.
What of it? Most people drink a little.
Sure. The lucky ones who can take it or leave it. But then there are the ones who can't take it and can't leave it either. Helen, what I'm trying to say is I'm not a drinker, I'm a drunk.
Darling, we can go over this tomorrow. Right now.
You've heard the facts. That's all there is to it.
That actor Ray Milland won the Best Actor Oscar for that film, which also won Best Director, Best Writing, and Best Picture. And coming up this Tuesday night, November 22nd, an hour of science fiction from Fantasy, then X-1. At 11 o'clock, an hour of adventure from the Lux Radio Theater, bringing us the movie Captain Blood from 1937. It's great listening this Monday and Tuesday night from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. I myself am looking forward to that Captain Blood broadcast, which has the original stars of the film, Errol Flynn, Basil Rathbone, and Olivia de Havilland, all on the Lux Radio Theater. Now, the week before on the Lux show, it was a comedy with stars Jack Benny and his real-life wife and on-air partner, Mary Livingston.
Well, Jack, tell me, doesn't this kind of a broadcast make you a little nervous?
Well, now that it's all over, Mr. DeMille, I will admit I was. Of course, on our own half-hour shows, I generally give my all. But this being an hour show, I just had to give twice of myself. You were good, too, Mary, and tonight I'm going to pay you for working with me. What are you laughing at?
I just thought of something very funny.
All right, what is it?
This is my Luxie day.
Remember our own product, Mary.
At that time, Jack's program was sponsored by Jell-O. And on his show, about 3 months before that Lux Radio Theater appearance, Jack Benny and the cast were celebrating Thanksgiving with one of Mary's poems.
Say, Jack, is next Thursday Thanksgiving?
Yes, Mary, why?
Oh, Thanksgiving. Oh, Thanksgiving.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, I thought you weren't going to write any poems this season.
Oh, just this one.
No, no, we've had enough of them.
Oh, Jack, let her do it.
No. All right, folks, you made your applause. Now lie in it. Go ahead, Mary.
No, now you'll have to coax me.
Well,
Oh, Thanksgiving. Oh, Thanksgiving. You are sure my favorite day. How I love your festive spirit. Gosh, gee whiz. Oh, boy, I'll say.
Well, you asked for it.
Thanksgiving, you are sure a treat. How we love to eat and eat. Cause for dinner, we're sure there is turkey stuffing and cranberries.
I knew it.
Mary, try to get Jell-O in there someplace.
I will. Yeah. Your friends, they sit around the table and eat much more than they are able. Then your relatives, they come, and what's left over, they take hum.
Take hum?
Don't forget, Mary.
Oh, you do it, Don.
Okay. But your dinner's not complete without Jell-O, rich and sweet, and its flavor so delicious. And its flavor so delicious.
Are you stuck, Don?
No, I'll get it. And its flavor so delicious.
Eat it there or take it with you.
So I don't know if you noticed a pattern developing yet for this podcast from our first commercial to that, but it is Thanksgiving this week on Thursday. And as you could probably imagine from radio's yesteryear with all the different types of shows, Thanksgiving is mentioned a lot. So much so that you'll probably hear a tune to yesterday Thanksgiving special next year. In the meantime, in this podcast, I wanted to bring you a few pieces of tape that have to do with a holiday. This next thing we'll hear is from November 18th, 1950, from NBC's Voices and Events program.
Before the day of cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie moves in on us, let's prepare ourselves with a bit of history about Thanksgiving. In our time, you'll recall, it was the most controversial of holidays.
The proclamation of the President of the United States.
Until the fateful year of 1939, this country had struggled along with a single Thanksgiving day. Then, with the approval of many merchants, President Roosevelt proclaimed this holiday 1 week earlier. Some states observed the new date, others the old one, and three states hit the jackpot by observing both. As Ben Grauer observed back in 39, even the turkeys were going mad.
Two turkeys committed suicide at dawn today rather than go through with this double Thanksgiving ordeal. Freed from their crates when a truck top hit an overpass at Jersey City, 25 plump turkeys romped crazily about, pursued by four policemen. Two dashed into the path of a passing automobile, dying ignominiously in the Jersey City gutter. The other turkeys were captured and are ready.
President Roosevelt, who thus tangled with the calendar, particularly enjoyed his own Thanksgiving when he spent it with patients at Warm Springs, Georgia. On those occasions, FDR carved the turkey and made a little speech. This is 1938, and the president read a greeting sent him by Eddie Cantor.
May you and yours have a happy Thanksgiving. I am thankful that I can live in a country where our leaders sit down on Thanksgiving Day to carve up a turkey instead of a map.
Now, ladies,
now we'll have the blessing said, and after that, we'll go to it.
The most famous Thanksgiving proclamations of our time were composed by the late Wilbur L. Cross, for many years governor of Connecticut. His prose captured the true spirit of the season, gave meaning to the day. You'll find many of them reprinted in anthologies. And now, through the cooperation of station WTIC in Hartford, we are to hear Governor Cross himself as he proclaimed Thanksgiving in true New England style.
As the colors of autumn stream down the wind, scarlet in sumac and maple, spun gold in the birches, a splendor of smoldering fire in the oaks along the hill, and the last leaves flutter away, and dusk falls briefly about the worker bringing in from the field a late load of fruit, and Arcturus is lost to sight, and Orion swings upward that great sun upon his shoulder, we are stirred once more to ponder the infinite goodness that is set apart for us in all this moving mystery of creation, a time of living and a home. In such a spirit, I appoint Thursday, the 24th of November, a day of public thanksgiving. Given under my hand and seal of the state at the Capitol in Hartford, this 10th day of November, in the year of our Lord, 1938, and of the independence of the United States, the 163rd.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing.
That from NBC's Voices and Events program, ahead of Thanksgiving on November 18th, 1950. Now, the day before Thanksgiving this week on Tune to Yesterday, Wednesday the 23rd, we have westerns for you from Gunsmoke and the Tales of the Texas Rangers show. Then it's horror with A Haunting Hour and The Weird Circle from 1948. And on Thanksgiving night, for those of you still awake, we have comedy at 10 o'clock with Cary Grant as special guest on The Eddie Cantor Show, The Screen Director's Playhouse, starring Cary Grant once again, an adaptation of his movie Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. And at 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, it's Mystery from The Amazing Nero Wolf and Suspense.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, William N. Robeson.
The story you're about to hear is unique. It is horrible. It is filled with terror. And it may or may not be true. In any case, every time a World's Fair is held in Paris, it reappears in the papers and magazines around the globe as a news story and travels by word of mouth to the ends of the earth as a true story. True or false, heard for the first time or twice told, we believe this great classic of terror will keep you in suspense.
And you can hear these shows on Wednesday, November 23rd and Thursday, November 24th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. In the same year that actor John Daner was voted Best Radio Voice by the listeners of Radio Life magazine, he made his debut in what would be known as the last Western radio drama, Have Gun Will Travel, 58 years ago this week on November 23, 1958. The show revolved around a man called Paladin and his adventures as a gun-for-hire or problem solver as he traveled the country from his base in San Francisco. And Daner's voice was quite convincing in the role of the strong arm from the late 19th century, to some even more so than the person who portrayed him first on television, Richard Boone. It was because of the wild popularity of the CBS TV show that it was even given a chance on radio. Even though it was among the last new radio dramas during its golden era, it was the first major show to derive from a television program. And it had a mildly successful run on the air for about 2 years, in an era when most radio drama was going to that big studio in the sky. But it did feature top talent in the supporting cast, including Ben Wright and Virginia Gregg, who many would recognize from Dragnet on radio and television at the same time. And it even had the same menacing theme from the TV show, written by renowned composer Bernard Herrmann. Now, the tail end of the episode called Hey Boy's Revenge. Hey Boy being the porter to Paladin, played by Ben Wright. This from March 1st, 1959.
Let's have it straight. What do you want?
I told you this afternoon. Job. But since you've decided to wear a gun, you seem to be fully prepared to take care of yourself. I assume my services are unnecessary.
Your services include nosing around in what doesn't concern you?
Hey, Travis! I told you your men could have the freedom of the town as long as they didn't start any trouble.
What are you talking about, Sheriff?
That Chinese work gang of yours. They just broke into jail. Took your friend out with them, Paladin.
Why'd you stop them?
45 men with crowbars and pickaxes?
Where'd they go?
They're heading straight for this office.
You suppose they're looking for someone in particular, Travis?
Sheriff, I want protection.
If you think I'm going to try facing down a bunch of Chinese armed with picks, you're crazy.
All right, then me and my men will stop them.
Most of your boys are at the saloon in town.
I know that. I was with them till I heard what Paladin did to my foreman. I'll round them up.
How are your men going to stop 45 rebel laborers, Travis?
With shotguns, Paladin. I'll kill everyone who... No. Sheriff.
What's the matter, Travis? You see a ghost out there?
They're standing out in front. All of them. Just staring at me. Just staring, Paladin. You gotta help me. You say they're your friends. Maybe they'll listen to you. Go out there and talk to them. You said you wanted a job. All right, then. I'm hiring you.
All right. First, there's a matter of my fee. $500 in advance.
$500?
And in hard cash on the line now.
All right. All right, I won't argue with you. The money's in the safe. I'll get it.
That gun comes high, Paladin.
Yes, it does, Sheriff. His hide isn't worth that much, but I'm going to use the money to help heal some scars Travis left on a friend of mine. Looking at it that way, it hardly seems enough.
Here. Here you are. 500 in gold.
Put the bag on the table, Travis.
Yeah.
I'm going out to talk to your friends. Hey, boy. Tell the men to go back to camp.
Please stay out of the way, Mr. Paladin.
You're not taking Travis.
Mr. Paladin, forgive me for what I say to you, but please understand. You are my true friend. We do you no harm, but you must stay out of the way. Travis killed my brother. He cheated these here men. He will be punished.
Not by you. You're in the United States now, hey boy. You live by American law.
American law is for whites, not Chinese.
The law is for everybody. The color of your skin doesn't make you any different. While you're in this country, you'll not only obey the law, you'll get its protection, and you'll get justice.
American justice will not bring back Kim Sung.
Neither will another murder. Believe me, hey boy, if he's guilty, I want Travis punished as much as you do. But I promise you, I'll shoot the first man who lays a hand on him.
Mr. Paladin, this man Sang will tell you who killed my brother.
Him killed Kim Sung. Travis!
Now, wait a minute.
That's proof for you, Sheriff.
It is.
You tricked me, Paladin.
I wouldn't go for that gun, Travis. I'd hate to cheat the hangman.
Tricked me and took my money.
And gave you excellent service. You hired me to protect you, to save your life, and I have. You'll be perfectly safe. In jail.
A moment of Have Gun Will Travel. John Daner, the actor who portrayed Paladin, made his debut in that role this week on November 23rd, 1958. Have Gun Will Travel, one of our staple westerns on Tune to Yesterday. And coming up this Friday, November 25th, on the show at 10 p.m., it's Crime for an Hour from the show Crime Club. Then it's A Crime, Mr. Collins. True History at 11 o'clock from A March of Time broadcast, the newsreel of the year from 1938 and the Cavalcade of America with a true story. On Saturday night at 10, it's Horror from Dark Fantasy, then Cabin B-13 from 1948. At 11 o'clock Saturday night, it's Variety from the Armed Forces show Command Performance, emceed by Ethel Merman. Then it's Paul Whiteman Presents with special guests George Burns and Gracie Allen. So some good listening this Friday, November 25th, and Saturday the 26th from 10 to midnight.
Attention, class.
This afternoon, instead of our usual opening question, you children have an assignment in poetry. Since next Thursday is Thanksgiving, you kids are to write an original Thanksgiving poem about things for which you are grateful.
Say, that is an assignment. However, it doesn't seem to faze these youngsters here in our classroom one bit. We'll be interested to hear those poems. But first, let's meet the young poets. And here they are, the quiz kids and the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
And now a pretty charming moment from a Quiz Kids broadcast of 1948, a week before Thanksgiving. This NBC show took child prodigies and put them on the air, leading to one of radio's most popular quiz shows.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and hello, everyone. I'm happy to mark so many of you present in school this afternoon. Right now, it's time to get busy on today's schoolwork. Here we go with roll call. Lonnie?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 12 years old and in the 8th grade at Lincoln Junior High School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 12 years old and 8th grade in the Volta School.
Richard?
I'm Richard Weixler. I'm 8 years old and in 4th grade at the University of Chicago Laboratory School.
And returning to school, we have Ruthie.
I'm Ruthie Duskin. I'm 14 years old and I'm in 3B at South Shore High School.
And a newcomer to class, Brant.
I am Brant Ross. I am 11 years old and I go to Lincoln School in Highland Park, Illinois.
Well, now, you kids heard your assignment from Miss Helen May of Buffalo, New York, which calls for an original Thanksgiving poem on things for which you children are grateful.
Now, if you've never heard an episode of The Quiz Kids, so far it might just seem like normal kids at the ages they say they are, but they would really turn heads along with people's ears when they answered some pretty complicated questions on the show.
Can you name 6 changes or additions you would have to make in the table of elements to bring it up to date? Ruthie?
Well, for one thing, Missourium, number 43
yes.
in the elements, was changed to Technetium.
That's right.
And the symbol is TC. And then for another thing, Illinium, number 61,
yes.
was changed to Promethium just recently. That's,
uh-huh.
that's not sure, but they're almost positive of that. And Albumine, number 85, was changed to Astatine. And number 87, Virginium, was changed to Francium.
Yes.
And then... the new elements were also discovered, the artificial elements.
All right.
Some of those were Neptunium, number 93, Plutonium, number 94, Americium, number 95, and Curium, number 96.
Well, that takes them all in, doesn't it? That's wonderful, Ruby. Wonderful.
And I think I speak for a lot of us when I say, whoa. So with these talented kids and what they were capable of in mind, here's the tail end of that pre-Thanksgiving broadcast from NBC from November 21st, 1948.
Here we go. I'll tell you what. Let's see what you quiz kids have written for your Thanksgiving poem assignment, which I gave you at the beginning of today's question session. Are we all set? Let's see. We have 2 hands up, and Ruthie's still working on. All right. Well, you go ahead. We start off with Lonnie.
Well, this is rather short. For trees and flowers and singing birds, for books of learning so full of words, for schools and churches and everything, my thanks today I gratefully sing.
Fine, Lonnie. Very, very fine. And now then, how about you, Joel?
We should be thankful for that in these days of strife and war, we live in a free country where after election great, there is no hate. And no... I can't read my own writing. And no, unlike some countries, revolutions and bitterness is fate.
All right, fine, Joel. And Brant, how about you, son?
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, haven't you finished? Ruthie?
I'm grateful for so many things. It's really hard to say which ones to put into this poem to tell to you today. The very most important thing that ever came to me is being born in the USA, the very best place to be. Why, what if you or I were born beneath the Nazi yoke? I'm sure we wouldn't laugh it off as if it were a joke. And this Thanksgiving, we'd enjoy that turkey in the pan much more if they could have one, too. Let's help them all we can.
Oh, say that.
The Quiz Kids from a few days before Thanksgiving, 1948, from NBC, and the reference that Ruthie made about them who need help would be the people in Europe who were still under Reconstruction after the Second World War devastated the continent. And that brings us to the end of this TTY Dialer podcast. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving this week and enjoy the old-time radio offerings we have on Tune to Yesterday on the Air at WRVO from 10 to midnight. Also, whenever you like, at our website, wrvo.org. and that second stream of Old Time Radio as well from 8 to 10 on WRVO2. You can find out more information about that at our website. And as ever, if you have any questions for me about the TTY dialer, tuned to yesterday, Old Time Radio in general, just email me, mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. So you'll be hearing from me again next Saturday night on the TTY Dialer podcast. Thanks a lot for listening.